if you will, let's turn to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Again in verse 21. Genesis 5, 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I can talk loud. You can just mute it. I want to talk to y'all this morning anyway, like we're sitting in my living room. Okay? If you just come over to the house and you said, Kevin, what is it to walk with God? I want to tell you. Is that all right? Cameron and I just come back from Yosemite National Park, and it is beautiful. The Lord made that. He declared who He is in His creation, and I got to go stand in awe of it. It was something. We walked through that place. We walked a whole bunch. We walked a little over 30 miles this week. And it was up and down. We sweated. And it got hot and it got cold. A whole bunch of things. Before we went, we read several books on it. We watched a lot of videos on it. But other people walking. Things about that walk. But it didn't do us no good. I hadn't walked it. When I got there, I walked. I stretched my legs. I was sore. I got tired. I got sad. And then I got happy. I got to see some things. And it was wonderful. And the snot was coming out of my nose. And it wasn't pretty sometimes. I smelled bad at the end of it. But I walked. I did it. I didn't read about it. I didn't hear about somebody else's experience of it. I experienced it. I walked it. And while we was walking, there was a couple we found there. And they didn't know where the path was. And they walked alongside us. They walked in the direction that we walked. But I wasn't walking with them. I was walking with her. I might have said hi. Might have exchanged some niceties. I wasn't walking with them. I was walking with my bride. That's who I was walking with. We walked a lot. And we enjoyed it. But the words to someone, if I tell you I walked with Kimberly, the actual walking's different than just telling somebody about it, isn't it? It rolls off the tongue so easy. People say, oh, that person walks with God. That person walks with God. Walking with God and talking about walking with God are two different things as well, isn't it? It's a different experience. You can read all the books you want on it. You can memorize all the facts you want about it. You can watch all the videos of other people's experiences. But you haven't felt the heat on your face. You haven't felt the pain in your legs. You haven't felt the desire to say, boy, that path over there is a whole lot easier. But the one I'm walking with is on this path. The ugly side of it. The smelling bad. The snot coming out of your nose. The tiredness. Wanting to quit. Thirsty. And then the joys of what you get to see. The joys of who you get to spend that walk with. It's a whole lot different reading about it, isn't it? We can read till we got calluses on our fingers. Ain't going to do you a bit of good unless God walks with you. We look before Cain and his lineage and everything that was spoken about of his people, his children. Well, they did this and they made that and they taught them these things. And they made iron. What a lineage. If you want to leave a lasting legacy, what could it be said of me? If all that my life amounted to, yeah, he had a family, had some kids, but he pleased God. He walked with God. Is there anything else that's necessary? Anything else more needful? We need to be reminded of those things. I need to walk with the Lord. I need the Lord to walk with me. Not the way I want, and he's my co-pilot on my path. I need to be with him where he is, whenever he's there, and that's my desire, is to be with him. That's it. Some of them call it salvation. That's a good way of putting it. To be with God. Be in His presence. for him to say, I am pleased in you. That's something. What kind of lasting legacy would we want to leave? What kind of words would we want people to remember about us as the greatest thing that could be said about us? That we walked with God. The Lord was pleased with us. There's a lot of facts that's not mentioned here about Enoch. It's very short sentence. Enoch walked with God. That's simple, isn't it? There's a whole lot of things that go with that. Who was it that walked with God? We're just going to look at Enoch this morning. Who walked with him? Well, we're going to see later on he was a prophet. He's the first prophet we have listed. Was he a good religious man? Did he have clean living? Did he quit reading the books that other people was reading? Did he quit going to the movies that other people went to? And don't touch not, taste not, handle not? Enoch was a sinner. He was a child of Adam. You know what that is? If you're a sinner, that's good news. That's the best news that we could hear. Who can walk with God? Sinners. Sinners. That's who walked with him. He was a fallen creature. He was from Adam's loins, his seed. He was conceived in sin. He was shapen in iniquity in his mother's womb. And when he came out of that womb, he lied. Like every one of us. That's hope for me. I'll be hope for you, isn't it? It was a sinner. And he did this for a long time. Do you know that? Look here in verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Something happened to Enoch. For 65 years, Enoch did not walk with God. He walked with Enoch. He had his thoughts on his mind, his own desires, his own lust. He did what he thought seemed right to him. Does that mean Enoch didn't go to church? No, of course. Probably did, didn't he? Mommy and Daddy told him. Same thing Adam had preached to him, hadn't he? He'd saw these things. He'd heard these things. And then one day the Lord called Enoch. One day when the Lord was pleased, he came to Enoch and revealed himself to Enoch. He had heard for 65 years about the gospel of Christ. Nothing's different. There's not an Old Testament gospel and a New Testament gospel. That's a bunch of nonsense. He heard the same thing that you and I believe. Christ the Lamb. What happened in the garden? Adam fell and we all fell in him. And God provided himself a lamb. Blood was shed. A covering was provided. Substitution happened. And through that serpent's head is going to get crushed. It's going to bruise his heel. He's going to be crushed. At that appointed time, the Holy Spirit abounded towards Enoch, moved upon Enoch, and gave him ears to truly hear. He'd heard these things his whole life. 65 years. Now he heard something. Now he was listening to the Lord. He was made spiritually alive. He had ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that loved the Lord. That's what happened. One day he heard. Paul wrote to us in Romans 10. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to ask you a hard question. Has anyone ever been saved apart from the preaching of the gospel? No. That's the means God chose to save his people. Well, how did Adam and Eve know? Lord showed them. Lord spoke to them. He told them, didn't he? It was preached to them. They heard the word of the Lord. They heard about Christ and him crucified. Who he is. What he did. What he accomplished. Where he is now. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. That's the means that the wisdom of God chose to use. If a man comes to God by another way, by his deduction, or he's figured this stuff out, it ain't of God. As he told Jeremiah, he said, I had sinned them. That's the dreams that they dreamed up, not the dreams I sent. That's how he chose. That's who the Lord walked with. A sinner, saved by grace. A man, a human, born of Adam. That's miraculous. That's something I want to hear about. Even me. He might walk with me. He might walk with you, wouldn't he? How did Enoch walk? To walk with God, there must be spiritual life. A dead man don't walk nowhere, do they? God had to give him life. He had to be born again. It didn't start at Nicodemus. We read about that, looked at it not too long ago, when the Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nothing's changed. The same thing happened with Enoch. The Lord had to give him life, and God must do it. Just like with our physical life. When we first come into this world, I didn't say, boy, I think today I'm going to be a human. I'm going to be born. Like I'm going to come into this world, and I've chosen to do it. That's nonsense. We'd laugh. Some of you could have somebody committed if they said those things. And man walks around. I passed 20 million of them on the road this week. Well, I chose to serve God today. He was just sitting there begging and wringing his hands in need. And he was hurting. And I come to the rescue. And I chose him. Nonsense. Hogwash. Just as our physical birth, our spiritual birth's the same. God must do it. We must be born of him. Born of that incorruptible seed. And you know, whenever the Lord gives life, I know I'm physically alive. That's a huge hindrance we have, isn't it? I can breathe air. I can physically walk to the door. I can go sleep. I can eat. I can drink water. And I think I'm spiritually alive. Everybody comes in this earth thinking they're spiritually alive because they have physical life. There's proofs of spiritual life. Do you know that? Faith and repentance is two of them. That's proof of life. To faith, have faith, saving faith, to believe on God, and to repent from what we were. Paul told us, he said, for we walk by faith. This walk that we have with the Lord, it's by faith, not by sight. These aren't things you can see. They'll be made manifest. They'll be evident to your brethren and people around you and to your enemies. They're going to know. They'll have something to say about it too. But not by what we see. That man must walk with God. I never seen him touch a cigarette or a beer, or he's never done nothing wrong. He's not kind to little children. That's sight. That's what you can see. That's what you can do. It's what's not seen. It's what's not seen. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. It says, by faith, Enoch, this one that was born of God and given faith, by faith, Enoch was translated. That means he was changed. He was changed. That he should not see death, and was found not, because God had translated him. He changed him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. That's man's testimony a lot of times. And what I'm doing is right. I'm pleasing God. It has to be. I'm a good person. Man's testimony doesn't matter what God says. God says, I'm pleased with that. That's something good. That's salvation, isn't it? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. We can get a hold of that for 2 or 3 hours. He must believe that he is. Well, I believe there's a God. That's not what he's talking about. The devils believe in one God. They think they do right. Those demons said, Lord, is your day, hour come? They knew judgment was coming. We believe he is who he says he is. God is holy. He is righteous. He is perfect. He will not clear the guilty. By no means will he clear the guilty. Sin must be punished. And we believe that he's the Savior. He's the substitute for his people. He is. And that work that he came to do, it's finished. He's the accomplished. He's the captain of our salvation. It's done. He is. And he is right now on his throne, ruling and reigning every molecule in this whole wide universe. To the electrons and the protons and the neutrons, everything. To who's in charge of us, to how many speeding tickets we get, if we get sick, if we get healthy, if I sneeze, if I sleep, if I wake up, it's all ruled by him. He is. He is. It said, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's part of that faith. And that he is a rewarder. Who has the right to reward? One that has. Do I reward God by gracing him with my presence? No, he's the rewarder. He has. He gives. He takes away. That's who he is. And he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So many people say, well, I sought the Lord. Oh, I was, and there he is. There's, they have a zeal. They have a zeal for God, but without knowledge is what Paul said, isn't it? They don't know him. They read their Bible every day. They read commentators, and they do all kinds of great things. It's without knowledge. What will the child of God? If you believe God is, he is absolutely holy, and I'm not. I'm a sinner. I'm like Enoch. I'm born of Adam. I'm the perfection of Adam's corruption. That's me. I fell in the garden. He's going to reward who diligently seeks him. How can I seek him? Lord, you must seek me first. Just like we read in Jeremiah 29. He know his thoughts of love and not evil towards his people. He must come to us, give us a heart to seek him. And you know what we'll do whenever we have life and we have faith to believe on him? You're going to grab a hold of him. I ain't going to let you go. Oh, it's too good. It's too good. And you know what? I will be with you. You who know him, you who love him, you've been given life. I'm going to latch on to you. I ain't going to let you go either. I want to know about you. Stay with me. We'll see it later on. I'll get ahead of myself. To know that he is, to know that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that's to agree with God. That's to take sides with God against yourself. If he's given life and he's given faith, we believe him who he is, we love our brethren, believe on him, we know that I'm wrong and he's right. For 65 years I did things my way. I'm wrong. Every bit of it was nothing but bringing me to Christ. That's the good side of it. But I have no stake in it. I'm on his side. He's brought me there. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't chase two rabbits at the same time. You'll chase neither. It's an old Chinese proverb. You can't have chase the world and chase the Lord. You can't seek yourself and your lust and seek him. It can't happen. We take sides with the Lord against ourselves. Those that walk with God, they believe in God. Of course they do. But we believe God. And we agree with him and we agree with his word. We agree we're in need. That's something we never ought to get away from. And if it gets old hat, it's dangerous. It's a dangerous thing. The blood of Christ. He was in that garden of Gethsemane and he sweat great drops of blood knowing he was going to be made me. He was going to be made you. His people. That feminine noun, sin, his bride. And he was going to bear all the wrath and all the punishment that I deserve. We need saving. We need a Savior. We need a Lord to come to us. We get away from that and we start getting into the details of things. You're going to get lost in the woods. You'll be deceived. It'll be a horrible thing. But we believe in him. Who is? We believe he's the rewarder and he's made us diligently seek him. How do we have that faith? Where does that faith come from? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We were dead, just as Enoch was dead, long time. We were made alive and we were given faith by God. Salvation of the Lord, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened. That means made alive. Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. You walk with God, I walked according to the course of this world. I walked according to the course of Kevin. That's who I walked with before God saved me. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. We walked according to the course of this world. And that's not walking with God. People think, oh, it's just they're going to talk different and just squinch up a little bit and it'll squeak when they smile. And oh, this is so clean and good. Think all them apostles. That's commercial fishermen. They had calluses and scars, and you didn't want to cross them in a dark alleyway. They could probably handle their own. And you'd come across them and say, there ain't nothing comely about them. Just as their Savior. Just as our Lord walked this earth, wasn't nothing comely about him, was it? So it ain't what we think. And this walk of the flesh and all these things after the thoughts of our minds and the lust of our flesh, we think, oh, that's horrible. That's down in the dirty side of town. You don't want to go down there. Oh, no, that's in a church pew. That's in the high seats in the synagogue. That's in public saying, hello, give me a title. You will call me by that title. Looks good on the outside. That's not walking by faith. That's walking by sight, isn't it? Or what we saw. How can we get out of that? Verse 4. Ephesians 2, 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That, in ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. This is done and it's going to be revealed to you. Christ revealed in you. For by grace are you saved through faith. There's that faith that we have to believe He is. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. He bestows it. He gives it. He puts it in His child. Those that He's made alive. Not of works. Not of doing. Not of outward show. Not of sight. Lest any man should boast. I'd take pride. If I had one thing to do. That house we have, it stays clean. I wear about the same three shirts because she washes clothes so fast and puts them back on top and I just take what's on top. I take one bag of garbage out and I'm proud of it, ain't I? If I do that in my home, what do I do with God? I'd boast, wouldn't I? I chose, I did, I read, I studied, I agreed, I did something. It can't be. It must be all of Him. For we are His workmanship. That's the whole of it. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained, that we should walk in them. How are we going to walk? We're going to walk in good works. The Lord gives poor, dead, wretched sinners life with that incorruptible seed of Christ. And then in His infinite grace, His infinite mercy, He gives faith to trust Him, to love Him, to walk with Him. And that walking is good works. Walking in righteousness. That's what we looked at all through 1 John. He that doeth righteousness. What is that? Believing on God and loving our brethren. Loving Christ in them. That's loving Him. Closest thing we have to Him on this earth are Him dwelling in our brethren. And we cling to Him, don't we? He gave life. He gave faith. And He gives repentance too. Enoch walked in humility. He walked in humility. He declared the Word of God. Not what his words were. Not what he thought. Not his perception, his take on it, and what good sense makes, what he perceived, he gave what God said, what God taught him. God taught him something too. He taught him he was in need of saving. He taught him who the Savior was and that He's coming. He's coming. That's what he prophesied. Turn over to Jude. Get to Revelation, turn to the left one page. You'll be right there at Jude. Jude, just one chapter, and we'll be looking at verse 14, Jude 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. You think it's important that that's there? What's seven mean in the Scriptures? Completion. Enoch was completely from Adam. Totally. I'm 100% Adam. Adam fell in the garden. I fell in him. I fell in the garden. That's 100% my DNA. That's all of me. That was my spirit and my image and everything else. My desires was in him. So this is who's speaking. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. A dead dog sinner. Nothing good in him. Here's what he said. He prophesied. Saying of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints. He told that wicked, corrupt world he was in at that time, God's coming. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, walking after themselves. And their mouth speaks great swelling words. Oh, it sounds so good, having man's persons in admiration because of advantage. You know, it's a two-edged sword that Enoch prophesied. That's condemnation. That's death to those that they hear ungodly, 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 and they get upset about it. Well, that ain't me. I'm not totally bad. There's a little bit of good in me. That's death. A savor of death unto death. Isn't it? God's coming, and boy, he's going to deal with sin. But to those with a broken and contrite heart, those Lord gave life to and gave faith to, that's not bitter. It's not bitter, is it? I am ungodly. And the Lord's going to come. And it says, verse 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly. Are you ungodly? Convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches with ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That's all I was. What did the Lord say that the great comforter is going to come and do? He's going to convict of sin. That's the first thing he's going to do. This sounds so bad, Kevin. That's wonderful. If you believe that he is, the Lord's gave you faith and life. That's wonderful. That's good news. God will convict us of sin, because then he's going to convict us of righteousness. Christ our righteousness. And then he's going to convict us of judgment. That it's all done. Ever be. And we'll never see death. We'll be translated. Death can't touch us. Sin won't touch us. Law can't touch us. Christ saved his people. Where did Enoch walk? That's who walked with him. That's how he walked. Where did he walk with God? He walked in this wicked world. He was in this world. World, everything was bad going on around him. And he didn't say, well, I'll worry about the Lord later. I'll walk with him later. I've got to take this path, this trail over here, and I'm going to fix some things on this earth. He walked in this world. He walked. Leave it alone. We have to live in this world. You got to go buy groceries. You got to pay electric bills. We have things. We have children to raise, things to do. Do it as unto the Lord and leave the rest of it alone. Don't go chasing them rabbits. You're going to end up in a hole. Leave it be. Enoch walked in this world. He walked in his community. All those people around him. Everyone in his village or town or whatever he was in. And you know what? They knew he walked with God. It was evident. Not by the clean living, not by the works, but because when trials came. When hard times come. When that rain and snow came and the sun was beating on him and everything else. He got down. He got sidetracked. He took deep breaths. He got weary. But he said, this is the Lord. The Lord sent it. And that makes me just fine. That makes it right. Whatever it is. Well, that was horrible. Yeah, I cried. I wept. But God sent it. And I said, something's different about that person. So they don't have a fear that. It's like they got an inheritance down the road. They ain't that worried. They work hard. They do well. Something's different about them. That's what the community said. I've had people throughout my life tell me, and it was brutal honest. It was honest. They said, if I was going to believe in a God, I'd believe in your God. They mean that as a compliment. I don't take it as a compliment. That hurts my soul. People I love, people I care for. You spoke right. Whew. Enoch walked with God in his own home. What a great privilege that is to have believing parents. Most people don't know about that. That's a great privilege. It's also a great privilege to be a parent that believes and has children with you. To speak to those children. When they come up and say, why we do this? Why we go to church? Why we have the Lord's table? Why we sing these songs all the time? Tell them why. That's why we have it. And Enoch walked with God in his heart. You'd be all by yourself. If I was up in Yosemite by myself, I could walk with the Lord. It's not just on certain days, on special times. It's allotted. It's all the time. Just as blood flows through my heart all the time that I'm alive, the Lord is with me always. It's with his people always. Isn't it? A lot of times that blood's pumping, I don't pay no attention. Normally, I got to wait until my heart's pumping hard before you notice it. While you're sleeping, while you're awake. Paul said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's not just that outward walk. Outward in words and in deeds and in good sayings, swelling words. We believed in the heart. when nobody's looking. And he bleed with other children of God. How do you walk with believers? How do we walk together? We walk in fear, don't we? I won't have you turn to these. I won't go too far over. But in Acts 9:31, it says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they were multiplied." We come to Him to worship Him in fear and in trembling. And in so, knowing Him who He is, coming to Him in fear and trembling, we're comforted by that. Because of who He is. We believe Him who He is. And we're multiplied. We walk in fear and we walk in comfort. We also walk in truth. John said, "I rejoice greatly that I have found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received commandment from the Father." We walk in fear, we walk in truth. We walk in love. And we walk in the life that the Lord's pleased to give us, in the measure that He's given us. John also said in 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Christ Jesus the Son cleanses us from all sin." What do we acknowledge when we're walking together? God saved us. I didn't have nothing to do with it. And you agree. That makes us family, doesn't it? People have read books about walking with God. They've watched videos about walking with God. But they won't walk with the Lord. They won't walk with His people. They won't sit underneath the preaching of the gospel. They won't suffer with the prophets that God sent in that day. My pastor said, those that won't bear the scars of battle won't ever wear the crown of glory. They don't smell it, they don't feel it, they don't do it. That's because they don't walk with God. They like reading about it. They like talking about it. I like talking about Yosemite. I got about halfway up that mountain. That was hard. That come at some cost, didn't it? That hurts me. Hurts my feelings. What was that walk like? David told us, he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Well, that's not sashaying and dancing all the time and health and wealth, is it? It's a valley of the shadow of death. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He has His rod. Who can withstand His rod and His staff? No one. Who's He walking with? His people. We have anything to fear? Nope. Him. We honor Him. We respect Him, don't we? Walk with Him in truth. Walk with Him in light that He's given us. Paul talked to that in Romans 7. How hard that walk was. Because that old man's still with us. We stray from that path. We struggle. We get tired. We battle. It's a battle. It's a war going on inside somebody. But they walk with God. How far do we walk with the Lord? Twice on Sunday and every Wednesday. No, that's not it. His people walk with Him to the end. They walk with Him to the end. I'm not a lot of people that used to believe the gospel. There's a bunch of people that used to preach the gospel. Lord didn't keep until the end. That's not pride. That's not me putting myself on a pedestal. Or you know that. That hurts. That's a painful weeping, isn't it? Sorrow for those people. Paul wrote to Timothy, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." I'm close to the end. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." The walk that he had with the Lord, it was finished. "I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not only to me, but unto all them that also love His appearing." How do we walk with the Lord? We walk because He's given us life. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk in truth. And we walk looking to Him. If the Lord gave us that, if we knew for sure He's coming in an hour, would you go hide in the hills and beg that He'd fall on you? I would say, wonderful. He's coming? Whew. It's going to be wonderful. We love His appearing. The end of this walk. what happens at the end of it? Like I said there at Hebrews 11, Enoch was not. I would like to have that on my headstone. He's not. He was here. His body was here. He's gone. That's the only thing we can say about believers. People that walk with the Lord to the end in faith, believing on Christ as their only hope. They're not here. What happened? Lord took them. He translated them. He changed them. Conformed them to the image of His Son. And now they don't walk by faith. They walk by sight because they see Him face to face as He is. They're in His presence. What a thought we have. And it says He was not found. They looked for Enoch. He had family, didn't he? He had children and friends. They went looking for Him. And they didn't find Him. He was missed. When a believer walks through this world with God, God walks with them. They're one with Him. And the Lord takes them home. And they're not. They're not here anymore. They're with Him. We miss them. We miss them. But the children of God are just not here. They're gone. They're with Him now. We think on these things. We say, who gave that sinner life? The Lord did. Who gave them faith to walk with Him, to look to Him? The Lord gave that. Who gave them repentance to turn from that themselves? The repentance is the pilgrimage from the mind of the flesh to the mind of Christ. Who gave that repentance? The Lord did. Who will keep me walking with God to the end? Is it my stamina? I'm prone to wonder. I'm prone to leave the God I love. He must keep me. And who receives all the praise? Who receives all the honor? Who receives all the glory for every bit of that sinner's salvation, every bit of that walk? He does. He does. It's my prayer that we can wake up every morning. Not just 2 days a week. You wake up on a Tuesday morning, good and early, and say, Lord, I want to walk with You today. I want to be conscious of You. I want to bow to You and be thankful for You. Rejoice in You. And whether it's snowing, raining, sunny, cold, it doesn't matter. Keep me walking with You. Keep me. And we'll praise Him for a moment. Amen.